day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz. We're joined today by Morehead Mayor Jim Tom Trent as we talk about city business. As always, Mayor Trent, welcome to Front Page.
Thanks, Chuck. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Sounds like we had a busy city council meeting this week. I mean, just kind of looking at the agenda and the notes left for me by one of our reporters, a lot of things going on, and I guess we'll kind of start at the top. You heard from Aaron Thompson, the field representative from the Office of the Governor and the Department of Local Government.
Yes, he was. I've known Aaron for a little while. He formerly was with Andy Barr out in Lexington, and then he was just recently named, I think, within the last month as Governor Bevin's field rep for this area. Aaron is from Greenup County, and he's a young, energetic fellow who wants to get out and try to know all the people in his area. And he's a very positive individual. And, you know, given the budget situation we have right now, that's sometimes a hard to do because I'm sure he gets asked a lot of hard questions that some he can probably answer, some he cannot. But he's willing to be there and put his face out there. And you know, I respect anybody who does that on either side of the aisle. It's a tough situation at this particular time. But we just wanted to introduce him to the folks here in Morehead, let him have a face with a name. He made sure that people have his contact information, and I have to give him credit. He sat through a three-hour meeting and when was going to take questions, you know, after the meeting. So basically just wanted to make sure that people knew who he was so that if there is questions, you're going to know who to contact.
Also, I know that there was a discussion in regards to the Clyde A. Thomas Regional Airport, continued support by the city and the county for that particular facility, which is so important to our area, especially when you talk about economic development.
It really is. From my understanding, from the information that was provided last night by their board chairman, Tim, his last name just absolutely left me for a second. I'll come back to it here in a minute. But Tim told us that one of the things that we have to understand is before the old airport was shut down, there was a total of $30,000 that was being given by both city and county. Now, that was a 40-acre property. Now it's 350-plus acres, and there's $25,000 given. 15 from the county, or 15 from the city, excuse me. Tim James is his name, as it came back to me. 15,000 from the city and 10,000 from the county. So it's gone down 5,000, and although they've you know, gone up exponentially from the amount of space. So right now they have an operating budget somewhere around, I think, 70,000, 75,000, somewhere in there, from my understanding. These numbers may be a little off, and forgive me, I don't have them in front of me, but I'm just trying to go over them in my head while I talk to you about what they came for. And that was, they've had their person who's been running the day-to-day operations, they've been offered another job in another town, and they're going to leave. It's a husband and wife situation. The wife's going to stay here up until their contract, honor their contract until September. And at that point, they're looking to probably have to hire someone else to do the day-to-day. Now, that means someone who can work on airplanes, someone who can fuel airplanes, work on getting them tied down, work on getting them assigned to different spaces. So they're asking for more money to be able to meet the market demand for that, and asking us to raise our contributions up quite a bit to $30,000 each in order to bump up what they think will be market value according to other area airport operators' salaries. So, and again, this is you know, this is a time when we're both city and county and state, and everyone is going through their budgets, getting ready for the 2016-2017 budget. And it's up to us to see if we can't try to find it. We all know how important it is. It's an economic development tool. For example, there was an example made last night that American Stave would not have came here if they didn't have access to an airport of that size. They have three jets that are in and out all the time, and that American Stave has now gone up to, American Wood Products, I guess is what it's called, has now gone up to third shift. So, you know, they've hired quite a few people locally. So that's one example that we have to keep in mind, is that it's very important and vital. So how we can reach that amount, I don't know if the city can go there. We don't know yet. We'll be talking about our budgets again here in a week. So that's what they were there for.
So are you hopeful, though, that this will happen?
I'm hopeful that we all can work together with the county and maybe other entities that have not been approached and somehow make up what they want to be added. I don't know if the city can go there at this point. You know, we have to constantly look at the way the tide is changing a little bit as far as road money, extra money that you know, sometimes we were able to get from the state, and other type of funds that normally we had in our budget last year and the budget before. Now it's up in the air whether it's going to be there. So we also have to look at, you know, increasing costs of just doing business, healthcare costs, all these that affect our bottom line. So our job is to look at everything we can do and try to help them as we can. Unfortunately for us, the airport's not the only entity coming and asking for more money. About everybody that we have on our budget comes and asks for a little bit more money each year. So, you know, it's, you kind of got to prioritize and see. But it would definitely be at the top of my list, and I think most councilmen's list and councilwomen's list, if we have the money to do it. I think that's something that we will try to do.
And at the same time, you talk about folks asking for more money, you're also dealing with a request in regards to the Morehead-Rowan County Economic Development Council, which has been without an executive director, a full-time executive director, since almost a year and a half ago, mm-hmm. when Brett Traver left to take another position elsewhere. And, of course, they've had a fill-in there, and Terry Enzer has done a great job.
He really has.
As the interim, but at the same time, you'd like to get someone to take that job on a full-time basis, but the salary has been considered too low by many people with experience who've applied for it. It's at $65,000 for the offer right now, and I guess you're looking to maybe raise that to $75,000 to entice someone to take the job?
That's what Terry was asking for. He was doing this in preparation for when he steps down probably at the end of the calendar year. Hopefully, I'm on the EDC board by virtue of my position as mayor. Myself and Judge Blevins, I'm actually the vice chairman, and we will actually be meeting in tomorrow. Hopefully, we'll have that posted soon, and we can start looking at the applicants. And you just have to go by market. And Terry brought up the fact that the second person in charge in a Western Kentucky town similar to our size, maybe a little bit bigger, was making 75 as a second in command. So, you know, we know that between 65 and 75 is absolutely essential to get to the 75 top end range. We may have to go more. Hopefully that'll get us enough qualified candidates. That's the thing. You have to understand, in order to get somebody with experience, we're probably going to ask them to leave another position to come here. Or they may be recently retired from a position. We don't know. But if you want to get position, if you want to fill the position with experience, you pay for that experience. You know, someone with experience is not going to come in and go on the low end. So, again, it's what the market, it's driven by that, and we look at other entities, other cities and communities that's our size. What are they paying? What can we afford to pay?
So is that $75,000, that increase to that salary offer, is that a done deal?
That, again, has to be approved by council and also has to be approved by fiscal court, because we are the two entities that pay for the EDC position. So, again, that'll be brought up at a physical court meeting when they have it this month, and we will discuss it at our next budget meeting, which I believe is on April 22nd.
Now, it sounds like, though, you're between a rock and a hard place on this deal.
It really is. I mean, you know, when you do look at budgets, you have your wants and your needs, and you have your absolute needs, and you just have to prioritize. And it's much more complicated than people realize, because you see a lot of wants that would really help what you're trying to do. So you have to pare that down to the needs that are absolutely essential to run your everyday operations first. Safety, 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 as we've always talked about. After that, then what can we do to enhance what we've got? The EDC, again, goes right hand in hand with the airport. That's important for us to have economic development for our area, to attract people to bring better jobs in here. We want our people that graduate from KCTC, that graduate from Morehead State University, that get experience here in our community. We want them to stay here. We've had surveys, don't have the exact numbers, but something like 50% of the people who work in Morehead and Round County live outside of the county. So we want those people to stay here, because not only do we want to create that livable community, we also, it helps us by getting the tax income, property, occupational, all that. So it all helps everybody. But those two, I think, go hand in hand, and we have to take a really hard look and see what we can do to help both of them.
The city is about to lose a key official, from what I understand, in regards to some of the agenda items from this past Monday's meeting. You'll be looking for a new police chief pretty soon, but it looks like you've already got an heir apparent to David Sexton.
We do. David Sexton has served, like 25 years close to it with our police force here in the city. He's been a great asset for many years in supervisory role. He's been, I guess, 2 years now. He's been coming up on 2 years. He's been our police chief following Chief Adams. And he has given us notice that he will be retiring effective August 1. And so our job was to go and make sure we have someone ready to fill that position so we have a smooth transition. We don't have any gap in services. And I take great pride in having relationships with different law enforcement officials around the area from all different agencies. I called every one of those. I did the research, talked to everybody I could talk to, and it was unanimous of people outside of our area, people outside of our agency. And we were proud to I was proud to announce that Derek Blevins, who's our captain now, he will be stepping in August 2nd, and he will become our new chief. He's served for 12 years already. He's a local fella. He and his wife have a young child. They live here, and his wife's from here, and he plans on staying here. He's very he takes a lot of initiative. He's one who worked on a lot of the school prevention training, the school shooting prevention training and mass casualty training. He's been very well educated and does a lot of our firearms, special weapons tactics, those type of things. And he's someone that is very well respected throughout law enforcement, as I said, as well as throughout his own ranks. So I think Moorhead will be very proud to have him as our new chief.
Well, and you mentioned the fact that David Sexton has been the chief for only 2 years, and he replaced Mike Adams, who was chief for several years before that. So this will be the third chief essentially in just a few years. But you're getting a guy who's essentially in the middle of his law enforcement career, so I imagine you're hoping that Captain Blevins will stay on as chief for some time to come.
That's the goal, and nothing against Chief Sexton. Everybody has to do what they have to do. But like you said, you had Chief Adams before him for several years. Chief Sexton was a supervisor, upper-level administrative supervisor for several years, and it was a smooth transition for him to come in. But it was towards the end of his tenure, obviously, and now with Chief-to-be Blevins, I guess we could call him, he has had 9 years of supervisor experience, three already of upper level. So we feel like he is ready, willing, and we know he's able to come in and take us and keep right on going. We're very fortunate to have one of the best police forces as far as all of our law enforcement agencies we have here in our county. We have the 20th safest city and out of 200 and some cities in the state of Kentucky, and a lot of that goes to our men and women who train very hard. They're not paid as much as big cities. They're not paid as much as other communities, but they work very hard, and I'm very proud of all of our first responders, police, and everybody else that works for us.
I understand that you'll be starting some repairs very soon to North Wilson Avenue.
That will be beginning on April 18th, and it will last between 90 and 120 days. And the reason why is we noticed not quite a year ago, about 6 months ago or so, maybe longer, Joe Parson came to me and said, "We got a problem on North Wilson." And if you've been up North Wilson, as you're going north up North Wilson, before you get to McClure Circle on your right, there's a small bend there. Before you get to that bend on the left, if you notice, it's those concrete culverts. They're probably, 5 feet deep, 6 feet deep. Well, on one of them there, about probably, I'd say it's maybe 100 feet of it, is breaking away from the road wall, from the wall that supports the road. So once that, if we allow that to keep going, you're going to lose half the road. So we were able to get in, fortunately, get about $100,000 from the state before all of the transportation cuts started with a new budget, and we were able to do that to supplement the $200,000 that's going to cost the city to repair that. So it's about a $300,000 job, and it'll take about 90 to 120 days. We ask for the public's patience. We understand it's going to be aggravating. It's going to be it's going to slow you down some, but we ask people to take their extra time, especially during school when McClure Circle has a lot of the students up that way. It's my understanding they'll be working from 7 to 4, 5 days a week, and the group will be coming in and beginning on the 18th, but it's something that's well needed, and it would just become a tremendous safety issue if we didn't address it.
Yeah, and you mentioned that people will have to be patient with the situation because It's a very narrow street.
Already.
Yeah, and with all those workers out there and their equipment, I imagine there's going to have to be some maneuvering.
It's going to be a one-lane street for probably what would be considered on a normal city, on a normal city street would be a two-block, probably at least two blocks will be one way. So you'll have to be, they'll have people there flagging people back and forth, the company that's actually doing the repair. So we just ask for people to be patient, and, you know, it beats having the road fall in half. Obviously, we don't want anybody hurt. But it is going to be a lengthy job to make sure it's done right.
Again, our guest on Front Page is Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent. And we'll come back with more on Front Page right after this.
WMKY serves the region with news and entertainment showcasing our rich Appalachian heritage. WMKY broadcasts at 90.3 FM from the historic campus of Moorhead State University. We value your comments and ask that you take a moment to share your feedback on our programming. Use the comment form found under the support tab on our website, wmky.org. Thanks for listening to WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at wmky.org.
Welcome back to Front Page. I'm Chuck Morales. Again, Jim Tom Trent, Mayor of Moorhead, is our guest today. And you had a chance during the city council meeting to chat with April Haight, who is working on the triplet stream bank stabilization design project. What's the latest there?
Well, we had a great presentation from the group that came in and did that. They showed what their plan was for that, and it's going to be, I can't remember exactly the length, but it will start pretty much where the bridge street is at there at the dam, and it will go all the way down almost behind what is the Pennzoil Lube area. Right in behind there is how long it will go. And what they had a hydrologist there and had another architect and engineer, I think was the other fellow's name or his position. And what they showed was very interesting to me. You know, you think in our common way of thinking, you think you go in and you dredge the creek, take it down 20 feet, and the flooding's over with. Well, what the Corps of Engineers did in 1971, I have looked at this, April's looked at it, we've looked at it ad nauseum, Joe Parson, Beth Oosley, other members of our flood committee, and that's when a local contractor was allowed by the Corps of Engineers to go in and dredge that, basically. Took it, I forget how many feet it took out, widened it, and that was in 1971. There was an agreement at the time between the city and the Corps of Engineers to maintain that. Well, that's been 45 years ago, and if you recall, you've been here 30 of those. And I've been here all my life. I don't remember another time when we've been allowed to get in the creek since 1971. Well, since then, we've had meetings with the Corps of Engineers, FEMA, with the Division of Water, Joe Parson and I, along with Beth Oosley, who heads up our flood committee. And we've met with these folks for the last 9 months. And Corps of Engineers have admitted that they made a mistake, that they should not have allowed that creek to be straightened. Because what that did, by taking and dredging that, a lot of the bedrock was taken out, a lot of the large stones. When you do that, it takes away the natural, I cannot remember exactly what the terminology, but basically all you have is sediment that rises to the top. That's why even on a non-rainy, non-high water day, you know, sometimes you'll look down there and you'll see a lot of sediment in the creek. Well, he said the natural filtration system of a creek is the bedrock, is the stone, is the way that it's made, and also in the serpentine way that the creek was naturally created. I think of the Grand Canyon. You know, Snake River, if you look at it in the grand scheme of things, it's very small. But Snake River cut out Grand Canyon. You know, when you talk to children nowadays, they didn't use bulldozers to make that, kids. That was cut out over, you know, many, many years by Snake. That's the same way. But you see the way water, if putting under enough pressure, can cut steel. You know, you see them use that in situations where they can't use fire, they can't use torches and that type of thing. They'll use a water torch to cut things. So what happened, by taking the bedrock out, by straightening that, you basically caused a rapid way. I mean, it just absolutely flies down through there. And that, when you get to certain points where it narrows, it cuts. It'll cut through anything. If you take the natural serpentine design that nature has, it slows it down, and it doesn't allow the cutting, and it keeps going over the filtration, natural filtration system of the bedrock, and thus you don't have the rapidness, and the rapidness is what erodes the banks. It's what pushes all the debris and the trees and everything down there. But the natural flow of the creek is what takes that away. He said, you know, it's interesting. He said creeks by nature flood. You know, that's nature's way of dissipating water, and they do that. However, when you take that out and cutting it and wide to make them deeper, all you do is cause them to flood more. So it's not what you think. You know, if you look at it, so we'll just dig it out and make it deeper. That makes it worse. So their plan is to go ahead and continue to work on a design. They had a design there last night, and it made a lot of sense, really. And I think it was good. Hopefully the video will be up on our Facebook page and also on our city hall website by the end of the week. And it's a very good presentation. But that's what that was about. She had found a grant. April did. She couldn't be there last night, but she'd found a grant. And their job was to show us how, through redesign, we can get back to even using it for fishing, even using it for recreation. Maybe even they think it can be used in time, relatively short time, for kayaking, boating, things of that nature, if it's done back into its natural state, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It's kind of an interesting project. How soon could something...
They will be finished up with what they're going to do with the research here, he said, fairly soon. Then the next thing, the next phase would be looking at the actual design, and then we would talk about trying to find grant money to work on it by a section of the time, because it would be a large project to do, even though it's not a long several miles. Still, it would be an expensive project to do all at once, and they think you need to do it by section, because each section will affect the section downstream. So as far as getting started on it, I'm just going to throw it out there. It could be started probably within the year, but again, it all depends on funding and those type of things as well. So very interesting concept, and I would ask anybody, if they get a chance, to go look at that and see. Well, there'll be more posted about it. April will have more information about it loaded up, probably on, I think it's through MSU too. So very interesting.
Anything new on the effort to get a new police fire station built?
We are still still waiting on some information to come from a area that we one of several areas we've narrowed down to, and we're hoping to have more information on that anytime. Once we get that information, if it falls within our criteria of location, cost, timely, being able to use it in a timely manner, then we will pursue that. I can't really get into any specific details, but you know, it's kind of, people know it's floating around out there. There's two or three spots we're looking for, and once we get more information on that to where we can make an educated decision, then we'll go forward and we'll let the public know immediately, because that's something that gets lost in all this other stuff. We still need that. You know, that has to happen, and that is a priority, and I believe that will be our number one capital project, and hopefully after that is gone, we can start working on some other projects, most notably recreation projects.
What would you like to spend in terms of this overall project? You can break it down, I guess, between the land and the actual facility.
We would like to spend in land $1 million or less, and then we would like to spend around $3 million for the project, which is, if you think about that, that's a lot of money. That's $4 million total. To build a police station and a fire station separately, just to build those separately would be $4 million without the property. So we're looking at, with both those combined, by combining some common space and some common usage areas for training and whatnot, and also the common parking lot and those type of things, like a training weight room, restrooms, bunks, and those type of things, we think we can save upwards of $1 million. And we believe that it's done in a nice way, and that will continue what we want to do as a tradition here in Moorhead, is be good stewards of the money and try to get the most we can for the taxpayers' money.
I guess we've got about 30 seconds left. Is the idea to hopefully start this project sometime later this year?
I would like to have, I know the council would like to have plans drawn. We'd like to have the land purchased, plans drawn, with the hope to break ground in the spring.
All right, Mayor. Thanks as always. Appreciate the time.
Thank you.
That's Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent on Front Page. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz. We'll see you next time.